it's Kyra Knights. How you doing, everybody? Hi, my name's Jonathan. I'm so excited to be here with you on a Monday night. You good? I'm good. I'm fine. I didn't just burp into the mic. Forget that it was on. How you doing? Ooh. Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
That's good. That's good news. That's
stank up the studio though, so it's so we're on both having too. It's great.
Some issues with gas.
Classy.
That's fun. Yeah, I mean, fortunately, I'm in my house, so the only person offended by my noxiousness is my dog, and he just let me know that he very much is. He very much is offended.
Doesn't he get mean at night though?
He's incredibly mean. Like if you, I would like people. It's almost like an Easter egg. Listen to this show. And if I'm like quiet for a second, you may be gathering my thoughts as I tend to do as, you know, I'm doing a monologue. You might hear in the background, because he's just constantly growling on my couch.
Well, I thought that was a death metal album in the background.
Stop. What?
I thought that was a death metal album playing in the background.
Yeah, that was Corey Taylor from Slipknot. Anyway. It's time for the Doom Scroll. First in the Doom Scroll is this. These four changes can help a night owl become a morning person. Researchers behind this study say that genetics has a lot to do with why we're morning people or night owls, but some of us are just pre-programmed to stay up later than others. They found that there are a few lifestyle choices that you can make to make mornings even better and less hard. They followed the habits of 858 college students for a year, and here are the top things they say that you should avoid if you want to be a morning person. First is this. Put your phone down and turn off your TV. Don't use any electronics too close to your bedtime, and definitely not while you're in bed. They needed a study to. Of course, that's a problem. It's weird that we have trouble sleeping when I've got this rectangle in front of my face with all of the information in the world, all of the entertainment sources in the world, everything you could possibly ever want, blasting light and sounds into my face while I'm trying to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's crazy, crazy that that is inhibiting my sleep. It's almost like it's not that easy to put the phone down. And it's almost like, and I know that this might be controversial to say, phones are addictive and we don't treat them like the addiction that they are. But they are incredibly addictive.
I was on my phone, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Your brain chemistry, give it, go anywhere and give it like 5 seconds of nothing happening, and then look around, and people will have their phones out. Whether you're in line at the grocery store, whether you're at the TSA, line at Dick's, whatever you're doing, people will just be sitting there with their phones out because it's addictive behavior. Any time we're slightly bored, we whip out the phones just to waste time. The second thing they say to do is only drink coffee in the morning. They say avoid caffeine for at least 6 hours before bed. That's okay. Don't take long naps. They say 30-minute naps might be okay. And don't exercise in the evening because too much physical activity keeps you up. So morning or afternoon workouts, they say, are better. Okay, so going back over that. Coffee, every morning person I know is a coffee addict. Again, something that is definitely addiction that we do not treat like addiction. But every morning person I know loves coffee. We'll say that's the only reason I get up in the morning. And they'll be like grabbing, holding the cup and like smelling it. No, that's not addictive behavior at all. That's not something you see out of people who, you know, like cocaine. And as far as naps are concerned, I don't know. If people could take naps, they wouldn't be night owls. I mean, if I could just nap, then I would be able to be a morning person. But because I'm not able to nap, I sleep later in the day and then stay up late. That's just whatever. Here are my hints. As somebody who is definitely a night owl, loves the shift I'm on right now because I'm on the East Coast. It's 12:10 my time. And I love this. I really, truly do.
It's not what you were saying off air.
I was a morning show personality for years. So here are my tips on how to deal with being a morning person, how to become a morning person, or having an early morning shift. First of all, just accept being tired like it's a bum leg. Just put it in the mix. Make it a part of you. That's just what you are now. You're just a person who is tired. You know, in the first Avengers movie where Mark Ruffalo says to Captain America, who's Captain America's like, how do you keep the Hulk inside or whatever? I can't remember what he says, but he's like, hey, how are you turning the Hulk thing on and off? And he's like, well, that's my secret, Cap. I'm always angry. And then he becomes the Hulk. That's your secret. You have to go from working a shift you don't want to work to working mornings, or a shift that you're happy on, I mean, to working mornings. Guess what? You're going to be tired all the time. That's your secret. And you'll just get used to it. The same way that you get used to, like, you broke your foot and eventually you don't even realize it. Other tips I have, don't eat breakfast because it weighs you down in the morning. Wait as long as you can to eat. And then I'm going to say the reverse. If you can take naps, take as long as you need for naps, because every single person I know who works in morning radio, meaning people who have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, usually sometimes earlier, if you're a producer, those people nap all the time. Every single one of them. Not one single person I know who works mornings in radio goes to sleep at 8 o'clock and wakes up at 4, because you wouldn't be able to do it. You need to watch the game so that you can comment on it the next morning, or you need to watch the Oscars, or you have a life and you have children and you need to go to their recital or their graduation if they're allowing you in, unlike me. So they all take naps. If you can take naps, take them. That was the first thing in the Doom Scroll. The second story in the Doom Scroll is this. You could get $1,000 sorry, to watch TikTok. So, Kevin, I know you're always looking for that next side hustle. This is $100 an hour to simply watch TikTok.
Wow.
It's not a full-time gig. It's just a one-off thing. But if you're one of the people they pick, you can make a nice chunk of change in a single day. They say they're going to pay three people $1,000 to go on a 10-hour TikTok binge.
Oh, 10-hour TikTok binge? That sounds terrible.
They say it's to help the company discover emerging new trends, but it sounds more like a gimmick to get their name out there. That's ubiquitousinfluence.com is the name of the company. You have to fill out an application, describe why you're a good fit. They're looking for someone who's over 18, already familiar with TikTok, and has an eye for trends. The deadline to apply is May 31st. What is that in Montana money, I guess, is my first question, because you can't go on TikTok there. Also, I think while this might sound awful, you said it sounds bad to spend 10 hours on TikTok. It's better than the people who pay to use Twitter now. Like, a blue check mark used to be a sign of significance. If you had a blue check mark, that meant that you were important enough that you were recognized. And I'm only saying this because I used to have one.
Or you work for a corporation.
You work for a corporation, but there might be somebody trying to impersonate you. You're important enough that somebody might try to impersonate you. So you need the blue check mark of authenticity. Then Elmo took over the company. And all of a sudden, now you can just buy them. And instead of it being a mark of accomplishment, or at least a mark of, I don't know, established character, now it's a mark of, oh yeah, I'm willing to pay to look good.
Do you have a blue check mark on Twitter? Did you?
No, I do not. I did, yeah.
Do you have a Facebook fan page?
I do.
Do you have an Instagram?
I don't do anything with Instagram.
I have an
Instagram, but I don't do anything with it.
You're not blue check on Instagram?
No, I'm not a blue check on Instagram. Okay. Don't you have to have like 10,000 followers or something like that?
No, I don't have that many. I have a blue check.
Oh, do you? Well, congratulations.
Because I work for a corporation.
It's your secret. Just got to sell out.
Yep.
Next story in the Doom Scroll. If you're still not ready to trust your kids to mow your lawn, would you trust artificial intelligence? There's another robot lawnmower on the way that uses AI technology to mow your lawn. It's called the Lawnmeister, which is German for lawnmaster. And it's kind of like a Roomba for your lawn. It can navigate obstacles like pets, toys, and even dog poop in the grass. It doesn't chaotically zigzag through your property, bouncing off wires. It can mow in straight lines and learn the digital boundaries of a yard so it won't end up in a neighbor's lawn or out in the street. You can block off zones that you want to handle yourself, like a kid's play area or near the garden, and teach it mowing schedules. Even better, this thing doesn't even play Little League, so you don't have to work around that. Naturally, these things aren't cheap. Not that mowers are known for affordability, but it costs $1,000 for the lawnmower Roomba. I'll just say this. Am I the only one who enjoys making my kid mow the lawn? Not mowing the lawn myself. I hate that. But making him go out there, oh, it's so fun. So he gets so grumpy about it. You know, it's really funny, actually. A couple weeks ago, I made my 14-year-old go out and mow the lawn. And I bought a new lawnmower. I bought an electric lawnmower. Not honestly because of an environmental concern or anything like that. It was just the cheapest one on Amazon. I was like, yeah, sure. Let's go with that. So he's out there mowing the grass. And the entire time he's out there mowing the grass, he's like, stupid old man, told me what to do. And I'm like, I open my window and I'm like, buddy, it's an electric lawnmower. I can hear you. Like when it was internal combustion engine, it covered up your yelling a little bit. But I can hear everything you're saying. And he's like, good. What do you hear? Anyway, I think we're getting into some Back to the Future 2 stuff or some, like, you know, futuristic type of stuff. It seems like something they would have had in Back to the Future, a lawnmower that is like robot. And it's like Jetsons type of stuff, right? Makes me want to ask the question, what do you wish that we had? We were promised jetpacks. I'm glad we don't have them because people would just be falling out of the sky. And I'm glad we don't have flying cars because the liability would be insane. You can't have people flying around in cars. So many more people would be dead with flying cars, believe me. If you think cars are dangerous now, just wait until they're 300 feet off the ground when you get into an accident. You plummet to your death. But what do you wish we had? Text in at 888-973-5476. That's 888-973-5476. Cairo. We'll get to your questions or answers, I mean, in just a little bit. Finally, last story in the Doom Scroll. This is a very controversial topic, and it's this. There are two types of homes. The ones where people wear shoes inside for comfort, convenience, and reduce the clutter by doors, and the ones where people don't wear shoes inside because it's gross. In a new poll, 63% of Americans say they take their shoes off inside as soon as they come in, while 37% do wear shoes inside. 76% are not willing to ask their guests to remove their shoes, though, including 67% of people who don't wear shoes inside themselves. So basically, what they're saying is, a lot of people take their shoes off as soon as they get in the door, but are not comfortable requesting their guests to do the same thing. And to that, I would say you probably have carpeting because I have hardwood floors and I wear my shoes all the time on my hardwood floors. And the reason why is because I started developing arthritis in my feet from walking around on hardwood floors. I know it's an old age thing. I know I'm an old man. I get it, but it still sucked, so I had to start wearing shoes. And my wife was the same way, so it wasn't just me. And the floors are cold, too. You need something in between them. Would you ever ask, though, Kevin, somebody to take off their shoes in your home?
Yeah.
You would?
I really would, yeah. I don't want that trash in my house.
Do you have carpet or hardwood?
Carpet.
Why did it take you so long to answer?
I'm not home that often. I have 6 jobs.
And you forgot what your floors look like?
Now I'm trying to think. I know I have carpet and part of it and then hardwood for the rest.
Oh, okay. So it's mixed. I get
yeah.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, I'm not home that often. About 5 hours to sleep.
I remember we used to have to take our shoes off when at my parents' house. We always had carpet. And my mom would clean the carpet and be like, take your shoes off. That would last for like a week until, you know, my little brother spilled a bunch of dirt on the floor and then we could wear our shoes again. But I remember one time I was going with my wife to check out a house that we were looking to rent. And the guy made us take our shoes off at the door. And it was like kind of awkward. I was wearing socks, but she didn't have any socks on. So we were like, okay, fine, whatever. So we went in, and it was all hardwood floors. They were very cold. It was in the middle of winter. And on top of that, he led us down to the basement, and the basement was like wet. It was a crappy house. And so we looked around. We were like, we don't want this place. And we went to leave, and we went to the front door, and our shoes weren't there anymore.
You just got shoe-jacked.
And I was like, well, yeah, like, it was this house even for renters? It's just some scheme to steal shoes. I was like, hey, where are my shoes? And he said, and I quote, okay, I have your shoes. I had to put them somewhere else.
It's a down payment.
Before I give them back, I want to know about your commitment to a lease. And I was like, where are my shoes? And he was like, again, I had to put them away. But first, I just want to know about your commitment as far as the lease is concerned. I have never come that close to punching another human being.
That's incredible.
In my life. I really wanted to just punch him through the ceiling. Because it was a crappy house to begin with.
So did you move in?
I wasn't
in?
Committing to anything. What?
Did you move in?
Yeah, of course. We had to live there. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to leave. I didn't have shoes. I don't know. We'll get back with your answers on what thing from sci-fi movies do you wish we actually had? Like something we were promised, like jetpacks or hoverboards.
Something, something sexy tentacles?
Yeah, if you go to the hentai websites, hey. Then maybe. What?
Don't be calling me out on here.
Well, you're the one who just said sexy tentacles. I think I cleaned it up a little bit for you. Anyway, a replicator, somebody said. That's a very good answer. We'll get to more of your answers on that next on Kyra Nights. Every time I cry your name at night, you pull close and say it's all right. I look in your eyes just like the rain. Washing my bread, wash all the meat. Touching my face, I feel the heat of your heartbeat. Echo in my head like a scream. Hey, it's Kyra Nights. My name's Jonathan Weir. Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us.
Can you name this shredder?
Steve Vai?
No, the other one.
The Inwigi Malmsteen.
No, the other one. Joe Satriani.
Joe Satriani.
Yeah. Because of Steve Vai.
Surfing with the Alien.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy, right?
Yeah, that's the song.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's the song. I knew it was that, and I couldn't remember who he was. You know why? I'm not a big fan of the shred dudes. I'm not a big fan of like...
Yeah, they don't really write songs.
Yeah, it's just doing scales.
It's
like,
cool.
I don't know. It's amazing. But there's a difference between talent and skill. And those guys are very, very skilled. But the talent, to me, is like being able to connect with me. And some instrumental music really does connect with me. But the shred guys just never have. Never have. What's some good instrumental bands that you like, Kevin?
A band called Animals as Leaders. It's a instrumental metal band. There's a band called Pound from Seattle. That's a 2-piece instrumental band. They're like kind of grindy math metal. Really good stuff. What about you? Oh, Tristezza too. Really good band too.
You played Polyphia one night. I like Polyphia.
Yeah, they're great.
And there's a band from Chicago that my friends and I were really into. It's two bass players and a drummer called Dianoga. They're fantastic.
Nice. Godspeed You Black Emperor. I think they're...
Godspeed You Black Emperor is good.
Instrumental band, too.
Explosions in the Sky.
Yes, yes. They're coming to town with Bon Iver.
Yeah. All right. So I asked you guys earlier to just text in with some things that we were promised to have and we don't have them yet. That sci-fi movie said by the year 2023, we'll obviously have this kind of crap. 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-KIRO. Just text the letters and it'll come to us. Somebody said a replicator. And they make a great point. Once you can build something atom by atom, pretty much anything becomes possible. And the cost for anything else drops to zero. And yes, as a matter of fact, I would download a car. So, yeah, a replicator would be great. You can just make anything, and then the economy would crash because you can make anything. That's where people thought, like 10 or 15 years ago, when 3D printers were kind of becoming in vogue and the possibilities were becoming more possible. People thought that that's where it was going to go, to the point where you could have a printer that would just suck carbon out of the air and then just construct whatever you needed to construct out of thin air. You just have to feed it blueprints. We are obviously not there yet, which is one of the reasons why I also kind of hold my ambitions towards AI on a tether, because I just don't know that all the stuff that we think it's going to do is going to do what it's going to do. Rejuvenation technology. You can grow old and wise, but get young again while keeping the wisdom. Rinse, repeat until boredom, and then upload your brain to an AI cloud. Well, we are getting there. There's the David Sinclair, who's a researcher at Harvard, Dr. David Sinclair, the Sinclair Institute. They're working on that where they've actually reversed aging in mice. And I think that that technology, while it's not going to be like here in 5 years, I think could happen in our lifetime. Especially if they're right, because then our lifetime will be like 200 years. Teleportation, I don't want that. Somebody said they want teleportation. I don't. Because then it wouldn't have anybody listening to the radio. The only reason we have anybody listening to us is because you're stuck in your cars. You can't get away. And finally, human augmentation. By making us into cyborgs, I'd love to be able to pay for a faster processor or stronger legs or eyes that can see in the dark. So basically cyborgs. Just upgrade your parts. Again, I think there's a process there. We get the rejuvenation thing that gets us to where we can live long enough, and then we get the cyborg parts to replace anything that's falling apart. There we go. Like it. Speaking of getting older, I saw this story earlier, and I just thought it was charming. Harrison Ford, you know who that is. Of course you know who that is. He says he loves being old. He's 80 years old, and he's now done playing Indiana Jones. I've not seen that movie yet. I don't know if it's any good. I'm kind of hesitant to see it.
It's not out yet. Of course you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that's right. I only thought it was out because they had the premiere this past weekend. But you're right. It's not out in wide release yet. But anyway, he's not as sad as you might think about getting old. He says, quote, "I'm real happy with age. I love being older. It was great to be young, but I could be dead and I'm still working, so go figure."
That's awesome.
A journalist at the Cannes Film Festival told Ford she thinks he's hot and brought up his shirtless scene in the movie, and he replied, quote, "I've been blessed with this body. Thanks for noticing." Well, first of all...
Me too.
Of course he's happy being old. He's rich and famous. You can be happy at any age if you're rich and famous, as long as you have a good perspective on it. But he's right. At 80 years old, you're probably just happy you woke up. Probably just happy to still be alive. You know, everything is gamble. Taking a shower is a gamble. You might fall and break your hip and be stuck in the shower for 3 hours waiting for somebody to find you.
How do you feel about being incredibly old?
Well, at 41, I'm probably biologically the same age as Harrison Ford is at 80. So I think I can speak to that. It sucks. I'm so tired of it already.
Life. How's life? Long.
Oh my God. I love my life. I do. I do this. This is stupid. And I do this for a living. I get paid for this. It's stupid. But
I agree.
I got a beautiful wife, great kids. I've got a great life. But my body is just like betraying me constantly on a regular basis. Like I'm doing things that I used to see my dad do and go like, oh my God, I used to think my dad was dying when he would do that. Like I get out of the car and I have to like press into my lower back and like, oh yeah. I have a seat heater on in my car in the middle of the summer because my back is so screwed up that I need the heat to sit comfortably.
You've aged like milk.
Yeah, I guess. I am very white and lumpy. So very much like milk. I don't know. I'm just hoping that somehow it all gets fixed. That's what I'm hoping, is that so they're going to be able to just shoot me full of stem cells at a clinic, and it'll just fill in everything. And
yeah, we got to get you that endorsement, dude. And then we got to pull your face back a bunch so no more wrinkles. And then we got to, you know, cover up those little bald areas and stuff. And you'll look fantastic, dude. You'll be like...
I won't even look like myself anymore. Yeah, my wife won't recognize me.
Which is perfect.
So just be like, who's this good-looking guy? Yeah. Get the fat frozen or sucked out. I had this question.
Nose job?
I don't need a nose job.
But
when was
the
last time
one?
We saw liposuction? I could not use a nose job.
Meh.
Being a little too mean. It's going a little too far. When was the last time you heard about somebody getting liposuction?
I heard about, what's his name, Funkmaster Flex on Hot 97, the legendary hip-hop DJ. He was posting about how he got liposuction. He must have gotten it for free because he did like some paid like advertising post. It was a very gory video. Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't like fat freezing, though? Because
No, it was lipo.
Okay, it was lipo? Okay. Yeah. How much does it cost now? $3,637. I don't hear about people getting lipos so much anymore. You hear about them getting the fat band or the stomach stapling. Man, and Chris Christie got that and is still...
Hey, don't shame.
Not, I'm saying still not skinny, which is probably good. Because sometimes you see those... Like, Al Roker lost weight. He has not looked right since. He looked better when he was fat. I'm sorry, he did. He's looked sick ever since he got the stomach stapling. I don't like it.
Be fat.
Yeah, look at... There's plenty of fat guys living a long time. Look at the former president, for God's sake. I'm talking about Clinton, obviously. Not your favorite one. It's Karen Knights. Oh, my name's Jonathan. Just happy to be joining you guys tonight. I saw this online. It's an unpopular opinion, and I really like this a lot. I think we should discuss it. They say this. I hate the trope of reforming villains, especially with romance. Basically, where a villain is like a bad guy, but then, you know, he's a real jerk. But then through the power of love, he becomes a good guy. I guess the quintessential Beauty and the Beast type of story. They say, why can't we let villains be, I don't know, evil? I hate stories where the villain always falls for the hero. Forbidden love is so cute, but are they genuinely a horrible person or some edgy, misunderstood character? It's so boring to me that when the villain gets reformed and or falls in love with the blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I think like that's a very common one, though. You probably look at almost every villain who ever switches. It's always because of some chick that he's in love with, or like Darth Vader and his kids. Yeah, I don't like that either. And then we're all just supposed to forgive them for the genocide and the horrifying things that they've done because, oh, he fell in love with Bulma. Okay, well, I can see why. She's hot and everything. But still, Vegeta was a bad guy. He stayed a bad guy the whole time. Yeah, I'm dropping non-contextual Dragon Ball Z references here. I don't care. I think we almost need the opposite. We need more heroes going bad, like Frodo succumbing to the ring. Or like Indiana Jones becoming a Nazi. Okay, that would be bad. I would not like to see that. That would be awful. Because then he'd have to punch himself in the face. That would just be the worst. You know what? A movie trope that I hate, and I just saw it, and I don't want to spoil anything, but it does happen in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie that's out now. So if you haven't seen it, I should never encourage people to turn off the radios, but if you haven't seen it, turn off your radio, come back in like 30 seconds. At the end of the movie, they have the bad guy.
I can't leave right now.
Are you planning on seeing the movie? Do you really care?
Yes. Okay, I'll turn my mic. Okay, I'll ear muffs.
Turn your headphones off. It's not that hard. So they have the bad guy. They're going to kill him. And then after that, by the way, they've killed like 50 of his henchmen with no compunction, no problem at all. We'll just kill all of these other people. That's fine. But they have the bad guy. They're going to kill him. And then Rocket, the raccoon, is like, no, I'm not going to kill him. Why? Because I'm a guardian of the galaxy. And it, like, okay, you can turn your mic back on now, Kevin, if you want.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like how... I don't understand the rationale of that. It would be like, you know, I'll kill every Nazi, but not Hitler. Not Hitler. Oh, I'll kill any commie, but I ain't touching Stalin. I don't get it. I don't like it. It bothers me. Tired of seeing it in my movies. You know? You know.
I don't know what you're referring to. I had my earmuffs on.
Yeah, you had the mic off. I get it. It's something else I hate in movies when it comes to villains. Everybody hates the villain is monologuing, and while he's monologuing, like the hero is able to escape, or the villain is like leaves the hero to die, and he of course escapes while whatever the whole James Bond thing. I'm getting really tired of this in Marvel movies, especially, where the villain is giving like this big dramatic "I'm a scary guy" speech. And then everything just stops, and they're all like, dude, like, you've got something on your face. Or you know what I mean? Where they, like, turn it into some joke, and he's like, what? What do I have on my face? What, right there? What? What's going on? What's on my face? I just want there to be clear-cut evil and good. That's what I liked about Thanos in the Avengers movies. They didn't do that with him. He was too big and bad. You knew they weren't messing around with him. Every other villain in every other Marvel movie, though, doesn't just get to stick to being a jerk. Doesn't get to have a clear-cut character. I think it fails. I think it falls apart. I really do. I really do sometimes. I think consistency is key to the success of a villain. I really filled up this last segment, I tell you that much. I hope you guys had a good Monday. I don't know. My Monday was fine. Except for I found out that I can't go to my son's graduation. That's crappy. I mean, no parents can, but that's just the world we live in now. I mean, I thought COVID was over, but according to my son's school, still going on. Not enough to wear masks, but just enough that I can't see him graduate. That's awesome. Anyway, it's Kyra and I.
You can live stream
out. Oh, yeah, that's the same. That's exactly the same as being there. You're right. I hate this world. But I love you. Good night.